I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and I'd like to begin reading at verse number 13. Matthew 7, verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. As I travel, the most frequent question that people ask me is, where are you going from here? Where are you going from here? Well, that's what I want to preach on tonight. Where are you going from here? We are all going somewhere from here. Someone said, I'm going home. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about heaven or hell. We're going to go somewhere when we leave this life. Where are you going? Where will you end up at the end of life's journey? In other words, you got to take the right road to end up in heaven. If you take the wrong road, you're going to end up in hell. You cannot go north from here and expect to end up in Tennessee. And you cannot go east from here and wind up in Texas. If you're going to God's heaven, you got to travel the straight and narrow road. Where you wind up in eternity will determine the road that you take here upon this earth. It's impossible to take the wrong road and go to heaven. And it's impossible to take the heavenly road and go to hell. And those of us that's on this straight and narrow way, the devil's trying every tactic, every trick that he has to get us to leave the straight and narrow path. You might just angle off a little bit, but it won't be long. You'll be a long ways off from the straight and narrow path. Oh, I've saw the devil work in many ways. One of the ways the devil works, and people are, they start out good, seem like they're saved and living for God and doing good, and then they get an offer for a job in another state, and there's no congregation preaching the truth in that vicinity. And you know what they do? Money. They think about the money. They think about the raise. But they don't think about your soul. And let me tell you something, friend. When you leave a congregation and move because of a job to another location, most of the time, it's a sure ticket to hell. Because you'll starve to death spiritually. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can't live without good Bible preaching. And thank God here you can hear good Bible preaching. You got a good pastor, and it don't make no difference what kind of raise you can get by moving off to another state. Amen. If you do that and there's no place for you to get your soul fed, you're going to end up, no doubt, in a lost eternity. So don't end up in the permissive will of God. Stay in the center of God's word. And so what you do while you're in this life determines where you're going to be forever. Friend, this life has been described as nothing more than a brief pause between two very long eternities. All this, my friend, shouldn't take us by surprise. After all, friend, we're surrounded by death from the day that we're born in this world. Loved ones pass away. They lead this world, and deep inside every one of us that's here, we know someday it's going to happen to us. I've got that much sense. One of these days, it's going to happen to me. And friend, you need to realize one of these days, it's going to happen to you. And friend, the fact that you will not live forever is a common theme through the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. And I want you to notice some of these notable scriptures, such as in James 4 and verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And just want to stop right there. We don't know what's going to be on the morrow. And then he asks the question, for what is your life? I want you to think about that. What is your life? He asked the question and he answered the question. It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanisheth away. Friend, compared to eternity, we're just here for a little time. And friend, God has given us this time to prepare for eternity. Not only that, Job said in the 9th chapter and verse number 25, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away and they see no good. He tells us in Job 14 and verse number 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. In Psalms 90 and verse number 10, the days of our years are 80 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now, since every one of us is going to leave this world someday soon, when we do, friend, we're going to continue to live either in heaven or in hell. We're going to live forever. Amen. Throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, I am going to live forever. You are going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. So where are you going from here? Jesus tells his audience, there's just two possible roads in which we can walk. So everybody here in this building, we're either on the straight and narrow way, or we're on the broad way that leads to destruction. You can't be on both of these roads at the same time. We're either traveling one or the other. We're saved or we're lost. We're righteous or we're unrighteous. We're holy or we're unholy. And all through the Word of God, he just says there's one of two. He don't give us three. So many in our day want to tell us that there's many paths that a person can travel and still go to heaven. However, Jesus limits it to just two. Some may feel that this is a narrow view, and I guess they're correct. But I tell you what I believe Jesus is right, don't you? I believe he knew what he was talking about when he said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So he said, there's a broad way. That word broad means it spaces. Jesus said there's a spacious road. It's broad. The ideal that I believe that Jesus is trying to convey is that the broad way is wide open. In other words, on the broad way, anything goes, doesn't it? You know, there's a lot of churches like that. Anything goes. Anything you want to do, any way you want to live. So on this Broadway, you can do anything you like. You can carry all the bad baggage of your sins. You can live like you want to live. Amen. You can call the shots. You can make up your own rules. You can be the king on the road, which is called the Broadway. When you walk the Broadway, you can be your own person. Not have anyone to answer to. You don't have a pastor to answer to. You can do your own thing. You can live life to its fullest. You can go where you want to go. You can do what you want to do. You can pretty much be what you want to be. Friend, is this your life? Is that the life you've been living? It's an easy way to live because there's no one to please but yourself. Amen. That's the way of the broad road. Now, there's a couple things that you need to know before you decide to live the rest of your life traveling the broad road. I want to encourage you tonight. If you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, you need to get off of it. You need to get off of it tonight, because you can end in destruction very quickly. Amen. Friends, sin brings pain and sorrow. Galatians 6 and verse number 7 said, be not deceived. Listen, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. Somebody said, you really? Yeah, I know that, because I once traveled that road. Now, there's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible teaches that. You can find pleasure in sin. But my friend, the pleasures of sin never has a pleasant ending. Now God, thank God, through Jesus Christ, offers a better alternative than the broad road. And you know what it is? It's a narrow way. While the broad road is wide open, easy, the other way, it's called a narrow way. You see, the narrow way is just the opposite as the broad way. Friend, on the narrow way, you can't take all your sins with you. Amen. You got to repent of sins. Turn from sin. Somebody said, I can't do that. That's right. But when you get saved and you have the Holy Spirit on the inside, he'll give you power to live the life that God has ordained that you should live. I remember many years ago the change that God made in Brother Davis. Did not God change this man? He was once bound by the habits of life, and God made him a brand new person. He wasn't the same once he got saved. Amen. He's one of the most humble men that I've met in all my life. Oh, the change that God makes in people. Friend, if you try, you will find there isn't enough room to carry the baggage of this world on this straight and narrow way. Friend, when you walk this narrow way, you must choose to give up your rights. You can no longer do as you please, but you must strive to do the things that please the Lord Jesus Christ. Some said, I don't want to do the things that please Jesus Christ. I didn't either till God saved me. Amen. And he changed my want to. Amen. When you get saved, your desires are changed. Amen. He makes people new creatures in Christ Jesus. See, you don't make up the rules on the straight and narrow way. Amen. God's already made up the rules. Amen. And his commandments are not grievous to the child of God. In truth, when you walk the narrow way, you can expect some difficulties. I'm just here to tell you, friend, I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to have difficulties no matter which road you travel. If you travel the broad way, you're still going to have difficulties. If you go the straight and narrow way, you too will have difficulties. But guess what? We got somebody we can go to. We got God. We got a heavenly Father, amen, that loves us, and he helps us through all the circumstances of life. Friend, I'd rather live a life that honors God, because it brings blessings and power. Amen. It's a better life in this world. Amen. I've tried the prospects of sin and I found that it deceives. Amen. I'd rather be like Moses in the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter and verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. That sounds like a wise decision to me. Amen. If you have to suffer some things in this life, amen, then to enjoy sin for a season. That's all you can do. Enjoy sin for a season. What season? The season that you're planting the seeds. But oh, when them seeds start coming up and you start reaping what you sowed and you remember, I sowed these seeds. And not only do you reap what you sow, according to the word of God, you reap more than you sow. Amen. So be careful the seeds that you sow. Friend, in life, I tell you, if you'll live for God, be in the center of his will, he'll bless you. Yes, there'll be hard times. Amen. But God will bring us through. Friend, once you're a child of God, God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what happens, he'll be there with you. So where are you going from here? There's just two possible destinations in eternity. One of the destinations is called hell. Jesus tells us that the broad road leads to destruction. That means, my friend, if you're here and you're not saved, that means you're on the broad road. That means you are on your way to destruction. That means that destruction is right out there in front of you. And when we think of something being destroyed, we usually think about something being annihilated and forever done away with. But this word refers to loss. It speaks of total, absolute ruin. In all honesty, it refers to the loss that one suffers in a devil's hell. My friend, the broad road leads to hell. 100% of the time. If you don't get off the broad road, I tell you, friend, you're going to wake up in the devil's hell. And this is what this revival is all about. Amen. To try to flash a red light before people. Get off of the broad road. Amen. You're headed the wrong direction. Amen. Let's stop everybody we can from going the wrong direction. Friend, to me, it's the most awful thought that my mind has ever tried to understand. To leave this world unprepared to meet God and wake up in a lost eternity. What makes it so terrible is, amen, no doubt there's some in this building tonight that's headed in that direction. Allow me to give you a little insight into this place that you're headed. If you're on the broad road, the Bible speaks of it in the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, and he calls it unquenchable fire. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. You'd be better off to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. If your hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you, because you'd be better off to enter into life than having one hand, than having two hands to be cast into hell. He said, if your foot offends you, just cut it off and cast it from you, because you'd be better into life, enter into life maimed, having one foot than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. Somebody said, you believe actually that a person ought to cut his hand off and cut his foot off and pluck his eye out? No. But you know what he's saying? Whatever in this life is hindering you from being saved, whatever stumbling block the devil's put in front of you, you better remove it. Amen. Because you'd be better off to get saved, amen, than to enter into hell with holding on to the things that's dragging you in that direction. And not only that, friend, in hell there's going to be the memory. The Bible said the rich man went to hell, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But you know what he said? Son, remember. Son, remember. If he could have just left that memory in the grave, hell wouldn't have been nearly so bad. But the memory comes along to haunt him. Friend, I tell you, as one that loves your soul, if you leave this world unprepared to meet God and you wake up in the devil's hell, you're going to remember services like this. You're going to remember the times when God gave you an opportunity to get saved and you turned down opportunity after opportunity. And those people that witnessed to you and those people that talked to you about getting saved and you turned a deaf ear, all those memories of all those opportunities and every gospel message that you heard down through the years and those people that witnessed to you, friend, it's going to be like a memory. It's going to be like a tape recorder playing over and over in your mind throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. If that rich man could have just left his memory in a grave, it wouldn't have been so bad, but it comes along to haunt him. And not only that, there was something else. He was thirsty. In hell, people are thirsty. Friend, he was really in earnest. He wasn't being a smart aleck. He was earnestly saying, calls Lazarus just to dip the tip of his finger in water and bring me that finger. I'm tormented in this flame. He didn't ask for a glass of water. He didn't ask for a thimble, just a little. He said, just dip the femur. There's that little bit of water that's on the tip of the thumb. I need a little bit of water on my tongue. But his quest was denied. Oh, the frustration, the anger, the misery. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Somebody said, oh, I have a lot of company. No, friend, you're not going to have no company, no desirable company, because this man went and he had five brothers and he didn't want his brothers to come. When he realized, I can't get relief from my pain. I can't have no water. Amen. I can't do anything about my memory. He said, I got five brethren. Send Lazarus to go warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Friend, if you go to hell, you won't want your family to come. If you go to hell, you won't want your best friend to come. Amen. You'll be begging and pleading for somebody. Go warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I think about many years ago when I was in a revival in Medina, Ohio, and out in front of Brother Dickerson's house, and there was a couple Jehovah's Witnesses came by, and they wanted to talk to me about hell. Well, I was ready to talk about it, and they started trying to teach me and going to tell me that the grave is hell. I said, no, 1,000 times no, because this rich man was in a place, amen, he believed that if his brothers would repent, they could escape the place that he was in. I said, if his brothers would have repented, they were still going to die. That proves that the rich man was somewhere beyond the grave, because if he would repent, he could keep from going there. You know what? They didn't have no answer for that. You know why? The word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank God the answer is in the word of God. Regardless of what man think, regardless of what you think, hell's real. Some say, I don't believe in it. It'll be as real for you when you get there as if you believed in it all your life. You can go through this life being convinced that there's no judgment. You can go through life being convinced that there's no hell. But when you get there, those beliefs that you had won't cool hell off one degree for you. No matter how hard I tried, I could never adequately describe how bad it's going to be to end up in the devil's hell. Where are you going from here? I want to know. Where are you going from here? Some say, well, I'm eventually going to get off of this broad road. One day, before I die, I'm going to get on the straight, narrow road. That's what most people think. Hell is filled up with good intentions. If we could go there tonight and interview those souls in hell, person after person, say, I meant to get saved. I had full intentions on getting saved someday. But the devil caused me to procrastinate. I put it off. And one day, I put it off one day too long. This road is a broad road, and it leads to hell. But thank God the narrow road leads to heaven. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way which leadeth into life. Thank God I'm on a road tonight that doesn't end in hell. Amen. Jesus promised those who would follow him. He not only promised us life down here, but everlasting life, glorious life in heaven above. If hell is a place of torment and horror and pain and separation and suffering, then heaven's a place of joy, rest, peace, unspeakable beauty and glory. Everything that hell isn't, heaven is. I thought last night, as the dear brother gave the testimony about his mom in the hospital, so many years in that condition, but as she was dying, a beautiful smile come across her face. That is exactly what happened to my mom. She had been in a coma for many hours, but when she took her last breath, there was a beautiful smile upon her face. Thank God, when I saw that smile on my mom's face, she saw something beautiful. Amen. And I've determined ever since, and before then even, I want to see what she saw. Amen. Consider these truths about the splendid place called heaven. No tears, no pain, no sorrow, no death, no sin, no night, no curse. I'm telling you, friend, heaven is glorious beyond description. The narrow road may be the more costly, but I tell you, it's worth the price that any child of God has to pay in order to be saved. So what if we did without some things in this world, but yet the reward is heaven? I think it'll be worth it, don't you? When we get to heaven, the trials of this life will seem as nothing. The past will be behind us, and all the glories of eternity will be unfolding before us. Their journey will be over, and we'll be home. Where are you going from here? As we read these verses, Jesus makes it clear that man must choose which gate through which, what kind of life he lives. If man makes these decisions, then he also decides where he will be in eternity. The decision that you make tonight could depend on where you're going to be a million years from right now. Have you thought it over? Where are you going from here? Will it be heaven or will it be hell? Will it be the narrow way, walking with God and the people of God, or will it be the broad way? The gate is still open that leads to heaven, but there's coming a day that the gate that leads to heaven will be closed forevermore. Just as the door of the ark was closed, once the door of the ark was closed and Noah and his family was on the inside, safe and secure, that door wasn't coming open anymore. And the door of mercy, thank God it's still open, but one day it'll be closed. And once it's closed, it'll be closed throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Will you come to him? Will you get it settled? I'm getting off this broad road tonight, and I'm going to travel the straight and narrow road from this day forward.